Gimel Eor, Wednesday the 25th of April, Rabbi David Katz. Why did Rabbi Akiva's students die?
Good morning. The topic today, as we just heard, is why did Rabbi Akiva's students die? In order to really have a certain hasbara in it, we need to take a wider look at the entire life of Rabbi Akiva. There are certain episodes throughout Talmud, Midrashim, that I'm an oirer plia. They awaken a certain question mark as to how they happened. So if you could just go through a few episodes of the life of Rabbi Akiva, perhaps we can understand this whole thing as a whole, as one. We started with the beginning of the life of Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara tells us that Rabbi Akiva started his Torah life at the age of 40. As the famous story when he saw the rock with the water, and he said, if the water can penetrate the rock, how much more can penetrate my heart? And he went and he studied Torah, and he becomes the greatest, perhaps, of all Tanoim. So much so that the Medrash says that B'shol Sha'olam Moshe L'Amorim, when Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to Shemaim, and Hashem is showing him the future generations, so he shows him Rabbi Akiva, so Yadoyre Shtilei Tilim Shel Halachas Hakutzi Shel Yud. So Rabbi Akiva is even able to be Doyre Shalachas that the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu himself couldn't understand. So Rabbi Akiva reaches this highest level. He's such a great person, such a great Tana, and apparently even the whole Teresh of Balpeh, the Gemara and the Mishnah, comes from Rabbi Akiva. Many people think that the Shavid Anossi wrote the Mishnah, but it started long before. It started Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva is this great sage. How does it exactly fit in with the fact that he started his Torah life at the age of 40? Not that it's a contradiction and not that it's a problem, but it seems weird. Usually when you have a person who's such a great caliber, people say, ah, this Rav, I remember him when he was 3 years old, he was already able to chazal the Gan Shas by heart, or whatever it may be. And here we see something, it's something which is mind-boggling. How comes a sage reaches such a great level, the greatest of all Tanoim, something needs a hesber. Why did he only start at the age of 40? This is one thing. That's the beginning of the life of Akiva. The whole start is Svelzach. Then the end, the way Rabbi Akiva ends his life, is also a big shaila. The story is, brought down the Medrash, that Rabbi Akiva is caught by the Romans for teaching Torah. And they take him out to kill him and punish him. And it says, Sarku b'sara b'masreke shel barzel. They take these metal combs and they're torturing him and they punish him. Rabbi Akiva was in the middle of it. He started reading Shema Yisrael. And his talmidim are gathering around him. And they see how much he's suffering. And they can't handle it. And they say to their rabbi, Rabbi Akiva, what's going on? And Rabbi Akiva answers them and he says, Kol yomai, mamish the loshim exact, I'm not, don't catch me on the words, but he said, Yoyshev o yisiu metzape, mosa yovoy le yodi vakaymenu. He says, I say the Shema 3 times a day. Sorry? He says, Krishma alamita. And he said, V'haftes Hashem aleikecho, v'chol levovcho, v'chol nafshecho, v'chol meidecho. And every day I'm sitting waiting, when will I have this opportunity to be mekayim in the bechol nafshecho? Afilu noitel es nafshecho mesiris nefesh. She says to Talmidim, now that I have this opportunity, now the fact that the opportunity for mesiris nefesh has come, I'm happy. Rabbi Akiva was smiling because I've got this opportunity to be mekadosh Hashem. And it says that he said, he said the word Echad and he died. This is the story. And this story also is Darius Hezber. What is the message that Rabbi Akiva is conveying over here? He's telling his Talmidim, Rabbi Akiva is waiting his whole life, he's anticipating when he's going to be a martyr. Is that a Jewish concept? L'chaira, it's exactly the opposite. The whole of the Jewish Torah is full of the exact opposite message. The whole meaning of Mechalel Shabbos is so that a person can live. Rabbi Akiva himself says that if there's two people going in the desert and there's only one cup of water, he drinks and he doesn't give it. Why? Because it says in the Torah, "V'chei achicha imach," that life is so important. Imach, not instead of you. So your life is such a valuable thing. It says in the Devarim, "V'bacharta v'chaim," that we can tens and tens of sukkim and in Yonim concepts we speak about the importance of life. So how is Rabbi Akiva? What's the message he wants us to take? That we need to sit there and wait and anticipate and expect and long to die on Mesiras Nefesh. Dying on Mesiras Nefesh is the chayra concept. If it happens and you're put in such a situation, I'd rather live. Or what can I do? This is halacha. Yarek Vali Avot. Fine. That's a very important thing. But to say that this is what I'm waiting for, this is not a Jewish value. To go and want to die. So what is Rabbi Akiva trying to tell us? Two other episodes in the life of Rabbi Akiva, which also need a bit of clarification. And one of them is the topic today. And that is that we find Rabbi Akiva has so many Talmidim, so many students, 24,000 students. And they all die between Pesach and Atzeres, as the Gemara in Yevamos tells us. Why? Because they didn't respect each other, and as some of the Mefarshim explained, they didn't go beyond the letter of the law. And this is a burning question. And it's two parts. Part number one, okay, loy nahagu kovod. And I'm not addressing the question as they were Talmidei Rabbi Akiva who taught v'haftu l'yach kamoichas, how comes they were the one? Lo mezaden, okay, they made the mistake and it was because of a... Not touching there now. But why such a severe punishment? Say the loy nahagu kovod. How many other Talmidim did much worse things in different Rabbanim and you don't find that they died? Is that a deserving punishment? And we read this in the Gemara as if it's a proshet dezach. She loy nahagu kovod, so they all died. Why? Where's the balance? What's more puzzling is that we don't find in the Mekoreis any address to this issue by Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, who had such a strong mind, he had such a capability of doing nechumim, such a capability of seeing the positive. Surely we should expect from him to give a certain comfort on this issue. He just lost 24,000 students. Explain, give, say something. The Gemara brings many stories about Rabbi Akiva. For example, he was once walking on Chorvas Harabais with the sages after the destruction of the temple, and he sees Shualim walking there, and all the sages are crying, and he's laughing. Why? Because he compares the Neviasim, and he says if a destruction happens, then now we know that it's going to be rebuilt. A resurrection is going to happen. So he's able to see the bright side. The Gemara also brings this story that Rabbi Akiva went with a few Chaverim to be Menachem, if I'm not mistaken, it was Rabbi Yochanan. Because Rabbi Yochanan lost his son. And they all come and they say, they try to give Nechumim. And one sage says, look at Aaron HaKoyim. He also lost his two sons, Nadav and Abihu. And it says in the Pasuk, Vayidoy Marin. And Rabbi Yochanan responds and he says, no, it's not enough that I have my own suffering, my own tragedy. Now you've reminded me of the tragedy of Aaron HaKoyim. And he doesn't accept it as condolences. And so on and so forth. And then Rabbi Akiva comes up and he says, he gives him a moshel of a man who is given a diamond by the king. And the king tells him, you've got to look after this diamond. And the person is trembling. Why does he have, what does he need this responsibility for? And after a while, when the king comes, he says, I want the diamond back. And he takes it back and he checks it. It's intact and everything is 100%. The king is very happy with him. And Rabbi Akiva turns around to Rabbi Yochanan and says, Hashem gave you a diamond. He gave you this son. And look how you raised him. Look how special he is. You should say thank you that you're able to take this pure neshama, this diamond, and give it back the same way you got it. And he says to him, Akiva nechamtani kiderech shemenacham im bnei Adam. He accepts it. So Rabbi Akiva is able to find a chumim which no other sages. Yet Rabbi Akiva is silent on this particular thing, but we speak about it for years after. How comes Rabbi Akiva himself doesn't say anything about it? Why doesn't he shed some light on this story? Another interesting story, which also we need to explain, is a story which is brought in the Medrash of a meeting between Rabbi Akiva and Frontsrufus HaRosha. He was the Roman ruler at the time in Eretz Yisrael, and he used to have many debates with Rabbi Akiva. And always Rabbi Akiva would win. And there was a certain time when they had a major debate, and Rabbi Akiva literally made bushes of this man from Tzurfus. He answered every question, and all the Talmidim were around, and everybody that was there was very proud of Rabbi Akiva. And obviously you can understand that when Tzurfus was humiliated and embarrassed, and he went home and he was very upset, and his wife, she picked up, she said, "What's the matter?" And he told her the story, and she said, "Kach, I will now embarrass Rabbi Akiva." And it says that she went and she put on her best, finest clothes, finest makeup, and she went to seduce Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva, when he saw her, he smiled, he cried, and he spat on the floor. These are the three things he did. And this lady, she was in shock. She'd never seen such a thing. And she said to Rabbi Akiva, "Why did you do this? Why did you spit on the floor?" And he said, "He spat on the floor mifnei ha'taiva." And she said to him, "So why did you cry?" And he said, "Because chaval ala yoifi da'avdin velo mishtakhin," which is such a beautiful woman. It's a shame that this beauty is going to be lost. Everybody dies at a certain point and it's going to be gone from this world. She said to him, "So why did you smile? Why did you laugh?" Rabbi Akiva didn't want to answer. He said, I can't say. This lady goes home. She's never had such an experience. She thinks to herself, where did Rabbi Akiva get these koiches from? And she decides to look into what's this Judaism. And to cut the long story short, she goes and converts. She's so impressed from Yiddishkeit that she wants to become a Jewess. Many years go by, Rabbi Akiva becomes an Alman, he loses his wife Rachel, and he remarries. And who does he remarry? He marries this woman, this convert. And under the chuppah, he tells her, "Now you know why I was smiling. Now you know why then I was laughing." This is the story which is brought in the Medrash. And again the question is, Vikum Tois, how does it work out that Rabbi Akiva, who was such a great sage at the time already, goes and marries a Gioris? Not that there's anything wrong with it. It's 100% according to Halacha. And we find many greats. In the times of Tanakh, there were plenty of people who married the Gioris. There was Ruth, who married Boaz. And there's other stories full of Tanakh, Moshe Rabbeinu. But in the time of the Gemara, it wasn't a common thing. None of the other Tanoim, we live in the time of Rabbi Akiva, not Rabbi Shua, not Rabbi Yochanan, you go to Rabbi Lezer, and his Talmud and Rabbi Meir, none of them married the Gioris. Don't find such a thing. It's not a common thing to find that the Gadol Israel goes and marries a Gioris. There's certain levels, just like a Kohen Gadol doesn't marry a Gioris, because it's awesome in HaTorah, but even regular Kohen can't. So, what's the story? Why does Rabbi Akiva go and marry a Gioris? And I'm madgish, not that it's a halachic problem, but what's the inyan in it? So then you say the Bechlal, the general questions of Rabbi Akiva's life, which, what's the Hezber? And the Hezber, Bechlal, to understand all of this, is understanding it's all based on the inyan of Gilgul, the inyan of reincarnation. But before we explain, going to touch on to understanding it, I think it's important to preface with a whole an akdama, just by the kuda, of Gilgulim. You know, they tell a story, there was once two men who made a pact. They made a chlata between them that whoever goes up to Shemayim first will come in a dream and tell his friend how it is up there. So Taki, one goes, Moshe goes first, and a week later he comes to his friend in the dream. So his friend says, no, I'm waiting, no, how is it? And he says, it's Amechaya. He says, you won't believe. He says, the sun shines every day. He says, the scenery, beautiful, it's green. He says, I eat when I want, as much as I want. I can sleep as much as I want. Nobody bothers me. And he's going and describing this. So his friend says, what, it's so good in Gan Eden? And he says, Gan Eden? Who said Gan Eden? I'm not in Gan Eden. She says, so where are you? He says, I've been reincarnated as a cow in the highlands of Scotland. Obviously, this is not the type of Gilgul I'm speaking about. Because this, the whole inyan we read about people who came back as Bal Chaim or whatever it may be. There's even a story in the Medrash of Rabbi Akiva himself who meets a person who couldn't go into Gan Eden. This is not the classic type of Gilgul. What I'm speaking about is what general terms when people say he's a Gilgul of etc. etc. And up to the time of the Arizal, which is not so long ago, a few hundred years back, there were many Gedolei Israel who didn't accept the whole inyan of Gilgul because of the questions that it poses. Because we know that when a person passes away, he goes to Gan Eden. Kol Yisrael is lechelik leilam habo. And we say Kaddish on a yard site and we do so many things because a person is in Gan Eden. So how can you say that there's a Gilgul when a person comes back down again? What's going on over here? And there's many other questions that the Mefarshim ask. But the Arizal came and explained the Moridik Echidush. And it's written in Shara Gilgulim Arizal in Akdome 14. And the Arizal writes, and he says, don't mistaken, these are his words, don't err. thinking that when it mentions in Makaris the word Gilgul, that it's the same neshama comes back down, because it's not true. No neshama comes back down. Every neshama, once it departs from this world, it goes back, it goes to Gan Eden, it goes to get its char. And that's how we do a yard site and we go to the cave of Echulu Vechulu. But rather, it says the Arizal, that if a person came to this world to do a certain mission, and he didn't complete his mission, this mission is rolled over to a new neshama. So the two neshamas are connected, that they share the same mission, but not the same soul. He goes on to explain that it's a spark from a root neshama, but that's, I'm not going into that detail. But the main akuda we need to preface and be makdim is it's not the same person. When you talk about Gilgul, it's the same mission, but not the same person. And he explains that Chesed is the same gematria. It's Gilgul and Steibishta who's allowing this mission to be completed. It's a Chesed of Hashem. The Arizal, when he explained this whole union of Gilgul, he also gave many examples, which is a topic on its own. He explained, for example, that Moshe Rabbeinu had the Gilgul, the mission of Noach. Because when Hashem came to Noach and he said, I'm going to destroy the whole world, Noach said, what about me? I'll be saved. Fine. So he did. His mistake was he didn't care about others. So many years later, the Eibishter brought the same opportunity. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm going to destroy the whole world, all the Yidden. And Moshe Rabbeinu, instead of saying, I'll be saved, because Hashem said, Herif many vashmidim esayis chalek legodoy. And he says, no. I do not agree. V'im ayin mecheni misifro hasher kasavto. So he stands up for the Jewish people, and they're not destroyed because of him. So he actually fulfills this mission, which Noach didn't. And that's why mecheni is the same letters as mei Noach. He explains, and he brings examples. For example, Dvorah and Avia, the prophetess, was a gilgul of Tzipporah, who wasn't there by the Shira, so she said Shira instead. And he goes on and explains all these examples. And one of the examples that the Arizal brings is Rav Akiva. And Arizal explains that Rav Akiva v'talmidov were the gilgul of Zimri ben Solu v'talmidov. As I'm sure you're familiar with the story in the Torah at the end of Parshas Balak, that Bilam gives advice to Bnei Ismael to seduce the Jewish people, that they should be do sinning with Znus. And there's a Mageifa. And it says in the Torah, it's the last pasuk in Parshas Balak, before Parshas Pinchas. What's the last pasuk? That after they all sinned, these people from the tribe of Shimon, it says, Vayiyu ha-meisim ha-mageifa arbo ve-eshrim olef. 24,000 people died in this Magefa. And Rabbi Akiva and his Talmidim, Rabbi Akiva was the Gilgul of Zimri, the Nasi of Shevet Shimon who died, and his Talmidim were the Gilgul of those people. And based on this principle, this aside, we can understand everything. First and foremost, we said, why did Rabbi Akiva only start at the age of 40? And because he came to complete the mission of Zimri, Zimri was a good man for the beginning of his life, for the first decades of his life. And therefore there was no tikkun to be made. So Rabbi Akiva was a simple person. It was only where Zimri stopped, and he died prematurely before he should have, where his mission needed to be continued. And that's where Rabbi Akiva begins. And the same applies to the students of Rabbi Akiva. They died in the Magefa, they died in the plague early, before their time. And there was still something that needed to be completed. And therefore these Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva were sent again, to be mashlim their mission that they haven't done. And this explains why they died. They should learn Noagu covered. What does it mean? The students of Rabbi Akiva came to complete the mission of those people who died in the Magefa. But they still could have, they completed their mission, but they could have lived for longer. So if a person is Noag Lifni Mishor HaSadin, so the Eibishter says the same. Yes, you finished the mission, you completed the mission of those people who died early, now you've done, you finished it off, but you still have children, grandchildren you can live with. I'll go, you can live beyond what your mission, your designated time in the world. But because they were noyeg, so the Eibishter was the same with them. You finished your mission, that's it. And just like those people died all at the same time in the Magefa, so too they also died at the same time. They all completed the mission, that's it. There's no, the Midrash Adam noyeg, Maidatim loy. So that's, it wasn't a punishment. But rather, that's the same midah. It also explains the end of the life of Rabbi Akiva. We ask the question why Rabbi Akiva says, "Kol yom ma'yoshev oisim mitzape to die in Kiddush Hashem." What's the message over here? Rabbi Akiva was such a great man, and knew the sherish of his neshama, knew the reason why he's here in this world, and knew he came to be mechaper for Zimri. How did Zimri die? Zimri died al chilul Hashem. He went publicly and desecrated Hashem's name. So what's the tikkun for such a neshama? To die al kiddush Hashem. And he knows that this is his tikkun. And that's what he says, my whole life I've been waiting when I'll have this opportunity to do this tikkun. So now that my whole mission in life has come to fruition, I can die al kiddush Hashem, I shouldn't be happy. So for Rabbi Akiva it was the right thing. And this also explains why he went and married the Giyoris. Because Zimri went and he cohabited with a guy, Shaloi B'Tahara. So Rabbi Akiva, in order to be metaken it, he came and did it with the same Indian of a B'Tahara. And by that he was able to be metaken. So it gives B'Chlal an interesting idea, the whole Indian of Gilgulim. It gives us...
Why did he never explain it? He said he never explained why they died.
Because, the question is just myself posing, but perhaps the idea is that for Rabbi Akiva it was Pashut. We've come in for a tikkun. They've completed the tikkun, so fine. What's there to do about it? It's not, if it was a punishment, then you need to explain how can such a severe punishment be for such a small thing. But if it's this is the for a tikkun, then it's, that's the way it is.
The father should have married the Giyoris first time around.
Oh, so maybe we can say that it was only after Rabbi Akiva went to study and learn, became the great sage, you realized the sherish was neshama. When he was a simple person, a royatzai, he didn't know. Maybe. Oh, it didn't matter when, as long as he did the tikkun throughout his lifetime.
So why the sadness?
Why the sadness of Shubhra? That's really going to a whole other understanding. And perhaps the reason, if you ask the question, the way I understand it is as follows. If you look into the history, and you look into the whole, what was going on at the time of Rabbi Akiva. Up until the time of Rabbi Akiva, a bit before even Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and his teacher was Hillel HaZaken, Torah Shebal Peh was not written. Torah Shebal Peh, there was a certain, people had a certain haskama, that Dvarim Shelo Nitnim Likosev, you're not allowed to write Torah Shebal Peh. But then Rabbi Yochanan, Hillel HaZaken, already it's when all the machloikism started, and they said there's a problem, because if we don't write Torah Shebal Peh, what's going to be? So all the sages at the time, they tried to find a solution. So on one hand, we want to write Tereshu Baal Peh. On the other hand, it's Osir. So how do we guard that Tereshu Baal Peh should be safe? So Hillel HaZaken, he thinks that the way to do it is by Hamidat Talmidim, Harbe, get proper students, that they'll be able to carry Tereshu Baal Peh in their minds. And as the Gemara says, Shmoni Talmidim Oyle Rabbi Akiva, Le Hillel HaZaken, Godl Shubakulim Yelisub Ben Uziel, Kotn Shubakulim Rabbi Yechon Ben Zakai. So Rabbi Akiva, Hillel HaZaken, he puts the greatest students to keep Torah Shabbat, because he starts something. Then Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, it's his mission to keep Torah Shabbat Peh. And also Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, if you look at the story of his life in the Gemara, it's fascinating how he delegates. His whole life, even after he becomes the leader, he goes and lives in Arav. The Gemara brings the story, because you see that he empowers other people to be great tzaddikim, and people who carry the Torah. So the greatest of his students, Rabbi Lezer, what it says about him, Shu boyer sud she'inem abet tipo. Rabbi Lezer was like a pit which is coated with paint, a sid, it's a type of something which guards that you don't lose. So he put somebody to make sure that the Torah Shabbat Peh is not forgotten. And the same thing with Rabbi Akiva, was his student. Rabbi Akiva also, his whole idea, he knows that this is the mission of the leaders of the generation, to make sure that Torah Shabbat Peh is kept and you don't need to write it down. And the only way by doing that is having many students. When Rabbi Akiva's students died, the 24,000 conduits, the 24,000 people who encapsulated within the mold of Torah, that was the tragedy. Because that was when Torah Shabbat Peh was decided it needs to be written. And that's Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim, Rabbi Meir, already started writing Mishnah, Stam Mishnah, Rabbi Meir, and it was concluded by Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. But it all started with Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was the first one to write Brises and Mishnahs. And it was after this tragedy, after this loss of the 24,000, that we had to break a taboo principle, which was that we don't write Torah Shabbat Peh. It was because of this episode, because it was from now on, as the Gemara says, there was a Shmama Achibot to Rabbeinu Shabbadon Rishnolim. But that's when they realized that there's no choice, we've got to write it down. That's perhaps one of the big parts of the fact that we're Avelim in this period, because we've lost the scene that existed for so thousands of years of Torah Shabbat Peh not being written. Obviously, with the loss of the passing of the students, still a painful thing. So, Mitzvah Hashem, we do our best in Avos Yisrael, we learn Lifnim Mishor HaSadim, and we'll be Zeichem because the God says, because of Avos Chinam, the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt from Erev Yemeinu Amen.